It's like it's when and where is the church assembly. You know, really that's not the issue, because if it was just an issue about when or where is the church assembly, then she might be saying that women need not speak in this particular situation, and I would say they shouldn't speak in this particular situation. That's not the issue, because there is no situation where she thinks they shouldn't teach the gospel. You see, it says that the women are not to speak in the church assembly. But the issue is not what is the church assembly, because you don't feel there's any place the woman is not to speak in that way. You just don't accept that verse. Now, if you define the church assembly, say, as any time you stand under an apple tree, just that's supposed to be funny, not serious, but suppose you define it that way, and that's what you believe, then that would mean you would think a woman is not to speak when she's under an apple tree. But you don't think there's any time she's not supposed to speak in that way. Therefore, the issue is not when is the church assembly. The issue is, are you willing to accept what the Bible says when it says the woman is not to speak in the church assembly? Okay? The church assembly is defined for us in that passage. In verse 23, it says, when therefore the whole church come together in one place. Now, in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 2, it says, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to hold of the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath. Dustin, that'd be a good name to name your first son if you don't have any kids yet. The son of Hezra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her that had that effect, and she answered him. We have no problem with that. Here is a man, evidently, and maybe a few more men, come to Huldah, and she tells him a few things. No problem. Is that speaking in the Old Testament assembly? No. Is that teaching over men? No. We've already pointed out how that Aquila and Priscilla did pretty much the same thing with Apollos. We're not opposed to a woman talking to a man. We're not even opposed to her talking to him in conversation, and perhaps he learned something about the Bible. No problem with that. So she didn't do anything that contradicts 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, or 1 Timothy 2. And then it says, well, she gave him a thus saith the Lord, of course. If she's a prophetess, that's what she's going to give him, a thus saith the Lord. Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied. That means they were inspired of God. So what they said when they prophesied was a thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. We don't have any problem with that. Luke 2:36, and in the temple, it says she talked to people about God. That's great. Now, Tanya, it looks like it's not me that's equating the building with the church. You are. You think just because she was in the temple, she was in the church assembly. No. No. Just because we're in the church building doesn't mean we're in the church assembly. For example, we have our church assembly, and then when it's dismissed, maybe we'll be in the foyer, still in the church building, and the women and the men will be talking. And perhaps they strike up a conversation about the Bible. That's fine. We're not opposed to that. It happens to be in the church building. Is it in the church assembly? No. We're not opposed to that. We're not opposed to what Anna did. It's not the building, Tanya. It's the church. When therefore all the church comes together in one place, whether that's in a building or not, after the services are over and they happen to be in the foyer, that's not the whole church coming together in one place. They've already dismissed the assembly. So it never says that Anna spoke to the Old Testament assembly. In Judges 4:4, you talked about Deborah judging. Put up 22. And we've already mentioned that. Yes, we believe that Deborah judged, and we believe that we can go seek advice from women, even spiritual advice. Like, for example, the two women that were arguing over the child. It's my child. One of them's child had died, and one of them was trying to get the other lady's child, and they came to Solomon for judgment. And he gave him some judgment, some good judgment, very wise. No problem with a woman giving judgment like that. We do that. What we're opposed to is a woman speaking in the church assembly and a woman teaching a class that has men in it. Judges, Deborah did not lead in war. She only went with Barak. She did not lead, Judges 4, 6 through 8 and 10. No verse says she was head over Israel, and no verse says she spoke to the assembly. Even if you could find that, the Old Testament law and the New Testament law is not necessarily the same. Sometimes people get it confused on this point that it was the same. 1 Corinthians 14 says that the Old Testament law taught obedience like the New Testament law. Not necessarily obedience to all the same commands, but the woman is to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So the thing they have in common is that the woman is to be in obedience to the man. Not necessarily that the woman could not speak in the Old Testament assembly. I don't know that that's taught in the Old Testament. I don't find an example of it, but I don't say that it's taught there necessarily. Now Genesis, I believe, verse 3 through 16 says that the husband would rule over the wife. That was talked about in the Old Testament, and I believe probably 1 Corinthians 14:34 is probably talking about that verse. I don't know of another verse that it could be talking about. And then she restated her argument that 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 was only in the home, and she brought up a point that I could see how she might get that idea, because in verse 15 it says she shall be saved in childbearing if she continue in faith, hope, and sobriety. And she says, see, childbearing, that's the home. actually, what we have here is what's called a synecdoche. Okay? This is not saying that the only way a woman can be saved is if she has children. It's not saying literally she'll be saved in childbearing because she has to have a child, and that's the way she'll be saved spiritually. No. A synecdoche is when a part is put for the whole. Like, for example, we may say somebody has 20 head of cattle. Do we mean there's just 20 heads laying out there on the ground? No, it's a part standing for the whole. Childbearing here, remember I brought that up as being one of the roles of women that us men aren't privileged to participate in? Childbearing here is standing for the role of women. He's been talking about the role of women. They're not to teach nor use of authority over the man. He's basically saying in verse 15, she will be saved in that role, in her role, the role of the woman, if she continues in faith, hope, faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. See? So a woman can be saved in her role. Childbearing is used as a synecdoche to stand for that role. A woman can be saved in her role if she believes and obeys the Lord, just like a man can be saved in his role. They're equal in Christ. We both can be saved in our respective roles, but they do have different roles. One of the roles of the women is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man, and she's not also not to speak in the church assembly, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, verse 8 and verses 9 and 10 make it clear that the context of 1 Timothy 2 is not talking about just the home. And, brethren, it's not just talking about the church assembly either. The woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man at any time. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. You know what everywhere means there? Everywhere. So the context of 1 Timothy 2 is everywhere. Everywhere. Brethren, that's why I would oppose a woman being governor of the state, mayor of a city. It's not necessarily spiritual, but she would be taking a leadership role over men, and she should not do that. This applies everywhere. For example, verses 9 and 10 tell us that the woman is to wear modest clothing. Does that only apply in the home, Tanya? You only have to be modestly clothed at home, but if you were to go to, say, a ball game, maybe one of your kids is in Little League, but you could wear modest clothing there? Of course not. This applies everywhere. She must wear modest clothing everywhere. And so 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, the very next two verses, applies everywhere also. It applies at the ballpark, applies in the political realm, and it applies in the church and the home. Not just in the church, not just in the home, but the church and the home, and in secular matters also. And then she made an argument, I believe what she's trying to say from Romans 16, verse 7, and either she didn't complete the argument or I did not hear it all. But in Romans 16, verse 7, it says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Some have said that Junia was a woman. Now, we don't know that for sure. It's an unusual name, and we cannot determine if that is a man or a woman. She's not, she or he, whoever it is not mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures. As far as we know, that could be a male name just as easily as a female. Some of these names we don't know about anymore. But it wouldn't make any difference. Suppose Junia is a female. All it says is that she is of note among the apostles. Of note. That doesn't mean she's one of the apostles. For example, I think we're familiar with the great sports star Michael Jordan. He certainly, while he was playing for the Chicago Bulls, was of note among the Chicago Bulls coaches. He was of note among them. As a matter of fact, he was probably of note among all the coaches in the league. Does that mean he was one of the Chicago Bulls coaches because he was of note among them? No. That just meant that the coaches took special note of him because of how good a player he is. All this means is that the apostles took note of Andronicus and Junia because of something they had done, probably outstanding. So suppose Junia was a woman. Then she evidently had done something outstanding that caused the apostles to take note of her. Among, when you say you're among the apostles, that doesn't necessarily mean you're one of the apostles. For example, look at Acts 21, verse 19. Acts 21, verse 19, talking about Paul. It says, and when he had saluted them, Paul, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. So Paul was among the Gentiles. Does that mean he was a Gentile? No. That means he was among them. See that? He was among them. That doesn't mean he was one. And so Junia was noted among the apostles. Doesn't mean she was one. It just means they took note of her. And then she went back to Romans 16, verse 1, and Phoebe said she was a leader in the church. And she wants us to underline that phrase, in the church. And that means she was a leader. No, she was a servant in the church. Servant does not mean leader. Normally, servant means the very opposite of leader. We don't argue with the fact that she was a servant in the church. I gave my response this morning to this. Now, I don't have time to go through it all again, but I, I showed that Thayer defined this Greek word, translated servant here, as one who executes the commands of another, a servant, attendant, minister. Wigram Green defines it as waiter, servant. The same word, 1249, is found in Matthew 12, 22-13. Certainly not, it's referring to some servants of the king, certainly not preachers and pastors. John 2:9, Romans 13:3-4, the government is a minister, certainly not preachers or pastors. Servant or minister is not a leadership position, but a serving position. You know what servant means in Romans 16, verse 1? It means servant. Every Christian should be a servant, not just preachers and pastors. Matthew 20, 26-27, Jesus teaches that every Christian should be a servant. Matthew 23, verse 11, John 12, 26, all of these have the same Greek word, number 1249, and they all teach that every Christian should be a servant, and every Christian should be a servant of the church. Every Christian. For example, you mentioned about the lady who swept the floor of the church building. That would make her a servant of the church. Now, I doubt this is what Phoebe was up to, but it could have been that she was sweeping the floor of the church building. And in that sense, she was a servant of the church. And Paul was saying that some folks would need to help her because there was a big floor there. Now, I doubt that's what it's saying, but it could be. It doesn't necessarily at all mean a leadership role. It certainly does not imply a public speaking role in the church, because we have a passage that, without being ambiguous, it clearly shows that she's not to take a public speaking role in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. Now, if the elders who are men ask a woman to teach a children's Bible class, say in the Sunday school time period or maybe elsewhere at her house, then she would be a servant of the church. If the church would ask her to do it, she wouldn't be taking a leadership role. She would be teaching a class of children. But she would be a servant of the church. Suppose the elders then asked me to help her, and they said, I want you to drive up to the CEI bookstore in Athens and buy this such and such material that they're going to use in the class along with the Bible. So I would assist her in her service to the church, see? That doesn't mean that she's over me or that she's a leader in the church. It means that she's serving the church, and I'm going to help her in that service. There's nothing there whatsoever that indicates a leader in the church. And then she brought up Acts 2 again about the women speaking. Now, I've already responded to that, Tanya, but you said, you talked about there were some women mentioned in verse chapter 1, of course, and that's true. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in verse 14. But you notice when it gets down to the end of Acts 1, it says, they gave forth their lots, the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So again, we have the 12 apostles' name, and then in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, there are exceptions to this rule, but the normal rule of grammar, Tanya, is when you have a pronoun, its antecedent normally is the last noun that it could refer to. So they were with all accord in one place. These are the ones that received this miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit in verses 1 through 4. They, normally, the rule of grammar would say it refers back to Matthias and the other 11 apostles. So as far as we know, only Matthias and the other 11 apostles were all accord in one place in Acts 2, verse 1. They're the ones that were speaking, and that is confirmed, as I mentioned earlier, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. So the women were not speaking here. There's nothing to indicate that. If we're going to figure that out, it'd have to be by reading between the lines. You couldn't read the Bible and find that out. It says the apostles, the 12 apostles. And then she brought up Ephesians 4, verse 11, again, and we admitted that women could be included there as prophets, because they had women prophets. And they were given for the edification of the church. I'm sure Philip's four virgin daughters taught people who were members of the church, but not in the church assembly, and they didn't teach a class where they had a leadership role over women. Now, but did you notice that the word pastor was also there? Teachers, women can be teachers, Bible teachers. Did you notice the word pastors was there? Have you noticed that I brought up earlier, without response, Tanya, that 1 Timothy 3, and also I believe Titus 1, says that the pastors or the bishops must be the husband of one wife? Now, Tanya, this is supposed to be a little humorous, and sometimes when you say humor, you're intended to lighten up a serious situation. Because I want to remain friendly with you. But I want you to think about this. The Bible says that to be a bishop, which is used interchangeably with pastor and shepherd and elder, you have to be the husband of one wife. Now, I'm trying to figure out how you could be a husband of one wife. You look a little bit too pretty for that. You're not a husband of one wife. How can you meet the qualification? The elder, the bishop, pastor, must be the husband of one wife. That's repeated twice in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. It says they must be the husband of one wife. Not only that, they must have faithful children, believing children, plural, not just one. Now, what is the reason that they must be husbands of one wife? Why is that? Well, that's backed up by other scriptures that says, first of all, this is a leadership role. We've already brought that up. They're to be overseers of the congregation. Well, then we've already pointed out from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the man is the head of the woman. Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the wife. 1 Timothy 2, the woman is not to usurp, teacher usurp authority over the man. And so the reason a woman cannot be an elder is because that is a leadership role, and women are to be subject to the men, not leaders over them. So it would violate the scriptures for them to be an overseer. And that's why a woman cannot be a pastor. Now, some of our Pentecostal friends would say, now it's wrong for a woman to be a pastor, but it's right for them to be a preacher. And some of them would say, now it's wrong for them to be a preacher, but we're going to let them get up in the pulpit and teach a Bible lesson or testify. But none of those things are wrong, right. They can't be a pastor because of passages like 1 Timothy 2, not to usurp authority over the man. They can't be a preacher because of passages like 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. They're not to speak in the church assembly. And they're not even to ask a question for the assembly to hear. So, Julian, a woman should not testify for the church assembly to hear. She should not ask a question because it says if she's going to ask that question to learn something, not a question to teach, that's also forbidden, but even a question just to learn, she should wait for after the service in order, and she can ask her husband at home, or that's not saying that's the only place, but that's one place she could. So, like I said, I went to a denominational church one time, and they had a woman get up and read the funeral announcements. She wasn't actually preaching the sermon, so she wasn't teaching a Bible lesson over the men, but she was speaking in the church assembly. That's forbidden. So put up number 7. And so, all we can do is keep reading these passages and keep emphasizing that they mean what they say. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12 means what it says. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not, or allow not, would be the modern way of saying that. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That would disallow a woman from leading a Bible class that includes men anywhere. But specifically in our topic this morning, it would forbid a woman from preaching in the church service, because if she did, she would be teaching over the men. See, she would be violating 1 Timothy 2. There would be men in the audience, and she would be teaching over them. She would be leading the class, as it were. We don't normally think of that as a class, the church assembly, but it is a class. A class just means you have a teacher and some students. She would be leading that class, therefore, I mean, at least during the sermon she would be violating this passage. Next chart. And so we ask the question at the very beginning of this debate, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, which one is Tanya going to be affirming today? It is a shame for women to speak in the church, or it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? I think we've made it clear today which one she's affirming. Which one is she going to be affirming? Don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak. Or let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I think we know which one she's affirming. But we know what the right answer to the question is, because the Bible is not ambiguous. I won't try that word again, Alex. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 reads, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. That's the very opposite of what Tanya is contending for today. It's exactly word for word what I believe and am preaching today. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So the law also taught obedience, not necessarily silence in the church, but they both teach obedience. I take it to men. It says, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So Tanya is teaching today that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. I am teaching today that it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It doesn't matter how long you speak. You can go on and on for hours and hours. These verses will still read exactly the same. You know that I'm contending for exactly what these verses say, word for word. The Bible does mean what it says. Most of the time, there is no interpretation required of the Bible. It just means what it says. People say, how do you interpret this? You don't interpret it. You just read it and believe exactly what it says. Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, requires no interpretation whatsoever. Just read it and believe it, and hopefully obey it. This requires no interpretation whatsoever. Just read it, accept it for exactly what it says. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. I believe it. Will you accept it and believe it too? I beg you to. Our soul's destiny will depend upon that. Thank you for your time, and thank you so much, Tanya, for being willing to drive down here for the discussion.